Yud Dalet Teves, Thursday the 27th of December, Rabbi Avraham Adler. Bee Kosher, a guide to the kashrus of bee derivatives in medicines.
Good morning. First of all, Des of Hakoras Atov, for having been given this honour of being able to give the shiur today the Torah away. It's particularly appropriate. I want to give this shiur today in memory of my father, Dr. Shlomo Adler, Shlomo Ben Avram, whose yahrzeit was yesterday. And he was always very interested in finding points where we can see the knowledge that our Chazal had in matters which maybe only became known to scientists even later on. And I think this particular subject of the bee products that are produced from bees, shows what insight Chazal had into the production of honey and other products that come from bees, as we'll see very shortly. So the first thing to discuss is to understand exactly what honey is and what honey is and why honey, in fact, is kosher, because as everybody knows, honey is actually seems to be produced from a bee. And as we know, a bee is an insect, a non-kosher animal. And therefore, there's a normal principle that kol hayetzeh say min ha-tome tome. So that is the question, the very basic question, why is honey kosher at all? I'm not an expert at all in the production of honey. Mr. Khan, who's here, knows much more about how honey is produced than I do, and how the bees work. But just very basically, the basic principles behind the production of honey is simply that bees actually collect nectar from flowers. That's they go around and collect this product, nectar. They also collect pollen as well. We'll see that's different, but the main ingredient that they use for the honey is actually the nectar, which they go around and collect from many, many flowers. They actually store this nectar in a pouch, which is we call it the stomach. It's not actually the stomach. It's a different, not where they actually do their own digestion, but there's a connection between the two. They bring it to the hive. They actually regurgitate the honey, the nectar into the hive, and they do give an enzyme. They have an enzyme which they inject into the nectar, and that eventually forms the honey. It's an amazing process when one would look at it. There are worker bees in the hive that actually have to fan the nectar as it causes it to evaporate until the honey is actually formed. So that is the basic process of how honey is made, and we'll see how this is looked at by the Gemara in a minute. Honey, everybody knows, is kosher. We'll see why soon. But there are other products that are produced from bees, and also other products which are produced from other insects, which do create problems in halacha, and that's what we want to see about. The main products I want to discuss today are, apart from honey itself, is the royal jelly, which we'll see what that is shortly. Shlak, which is actually nothing to do with bees at all, but it is a very important ingredient in foods and medicines, and one needs to understand the kashrus status of shlak, even though it comes from the shellac, it comes from another insect, the lac insect. There's propolis, there's beeswax, and there's bees pollen. We'll try and mention go through as many of these as possible. To start off with, we'll look at the Gemara, the Sugya in Bechairus, which is where the whole story starts, really, which is where the Makur for the Halacha of honey comes from. And the Gemara in Bechairus of Zayin Amar Beis discusses the din of Mei Ragli Chamor, which apparently one time was drunk, possibly for health purposes, the urine that's produced by Chamor, and the Gemara discusses whether it's permitted to drink it. So the Gemara first says that it's permitted because the chamor isn't actually producing this meiraglaim, it's just water that came in, water that goes out. So Omalu Rav Sheshes said, no, it's an isua we've learnt, in principle, which I just mentioned, hayotze min ha-tomei tomei, hayotze min ha-toa-toa. Anything that comes out of something which is tomei, a tomei animal is tomei, hayotze min ha-toa-toa, and anything which comes out of a toa animal is toa, the honey nami mitome ka'osei, And these meiraglaim also are actually coming out of a tamei animal, a chamer. So even though the meiragli chamer are not actually produced by the chamer, they only pass through it, they seem to still be classified, according to this Gemara, as yotzei min hatamei. So the Gemara asks, meisvei, brings a brayso, neima omru dvash dvar muta, why did Chazal tell us, why did Chazal say that dvash dvarim bihani is muta? Mipnei shemach nisais oisa legufan, veima matzis oisa megufan. The bees take this nectar, as we've explained, into their body, into these pouches, which they have, but they don't actually, veima matzis oisa megufan, they don't actually produce it, the body doesn't actually produce it, it's just processed in the way that we've described. So you see from this that unless a product, an animal actually does produce a product, it doesn't have the din of yotzei min hatamei. So this is the kasha that the Gemara asked. So then why did Rav Sheshes say, v'hani nami mitomei kosi, why was Rav Sheshes machmer, why did he not allow the meiragli chamer? So the Gemara answers, no, Rav Sheshes had a different opinion. Hu da omer ka Rav Yaakov, he had a different opinion. He paskin like Rav Yaakov. Da omer duvsha rachmon asharia. It's nothing to do with the fact that the honey is not actually produced by the bee in the same way as milk is produced by a cow, for example. It's nothing to do with that. It's a gezeira sakosov, duvsha, honey alone, the Torah permitted, the sanya. And then the Gemara brings a bris, and it's a complicated yalfusa, gezeira sakosov, why honey is muta. Not that some people quote Erezalas Chalov Advash, it's nothing to do with that, because that is not referring to Bihani at all. Rabbi Yaakov Arima, Ach Ezer Toichlu Mikol Sheretz Ha'if. The Pasuk in Shmini says, this is what you're allowed to eat, Mikol Sheretz Ha'if. Zer Atoichel, you're allowed to eat this particular thing. That means the grasshoppers that are being referred to there. Vi Atoichel Sheretz Ha'if Tomi, but you're not allowed to eat a sheretz oif tomei, a flying creature that is tomei. Afraid the Gemara asked, sheretz oif tomei behed yiksiv. We don't need to be told that, because that is, we're told that explicitly. Sheretz oif, so the Gemara answers, no, it's coming to sheretz oif tomei iyakarich. You're not allowed to eat an actual animal that flies that is a sheretz. Aval ata oichel ma sheoif tomei mashritz. But you are allowed to eat that which a oif tomei produces in his body. But which oif tomei are we referring to? Which flying creature are we referring to that you're allowed to eat? Leizeh zed vash dvoyim. This discussion, how it's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that this particular posuk is referring to be honey and nothing else. The Gemara asks, the maro iso, how do you see fit just to include vash dvoyim? Will hotiyas agizim v'tzirin to exclude products that are produced from other insects like hornets or other insects which may produce all things? Says Gemara, marba ani dvash dvarim, I include only dvash dvarim, she'en lo shem levai. That, when we talk about honey, we only refer to the normal term honey refers to bee honey. So any other honeys or so that might come from other animals are not included in the Xeris HaKosov. And we exclude Tvash Tsirin, Shiesh Leshen Levites, that if you would be talking about honey that's produced from a different animal, or if there would be such a thing, from such an insect, you would, from any other insect, it would be not called Dvash, it would be given a name, Dvash hornet honey, or something like that, if such a thing existed. So, to summarize, there's two reasons in the Gemara why honey is produced. Either it's why honey is permitted. Either because it's not actually made by the bee, it's just processed, or it's simply a special gzeiras hakosov. Now, if it's going to be one of these two reasons, we're going to have differences, lahalocha, on some of the other products. There's no question, and that's for 100% certain, honey is definitely permitted. The question is, other products that are made and that are produced from bees, or shellac, which is a product that is produced from the lac insect, what is going to be the halacha with these? So the first one, let's have a look at, is the royal jelly. Now, royal jelly is a substance which is produced actually by the worker bees themselves, and it's used as a food, but it's not processes the actual secretion from a gland, which is in the head of the worker bees, and it's produced as a special food for the queen bee. This is where I think advantages and the medical advantages that come from royal jelly are, and why it's many people feel it's a very good product to prevent one aging and extend one's lifetime, is because the queen bees actually live much, much longer than the worker bees, and they actually feed on this royal jelly. It obviously does them a lot of good. The point to note about this royal jelly is that, according to the first reason of the Gemara, the royal jelly may well be also, because it's actually produced by the bee. It's more like milk being produced from a cow. It's actually produced by the bee. It's not just nectar which is being converted. And therefore, according to the first reason of the Gemara, it would be not permitted. According to the second reason of the Gemara, there is a tzad to say that it might be mutter, because if you understand the bee, Masha Oif Tomei Mashritz, and what is that insect that is Mashritz that produces honey is the bee, then maybe other things that are produced by the bee may also be permitted from that basis, on that basis, and therefore, according to that, the royal jelly may be permitted. And this svara, this is suggested by the Tzitz Eliezer in Pelek Yulal of Simon and Tess. He suggests this as a possibility to be maker and to be lenient about royal jelly, because according to the first reason of the Gemara, it wouldn't be permitted, but according to the second reason of the Gemara, the Gzeres HaKosev aspect, then it would be permitted. The question is, though, and the Sicilian discusses this, that which reason do we actually pass in life? Which is the reason do we Paskin, like the first reason of the Gemara, that the reason why honey is permitted is because it's only something which is processed by the bee, or do we go according to the second reason, that it's because it's permitted because of the Gzeira Sakosov?
Excuse me, when you say processed, you mean processed outside
the outside bee? All that the bee uses is an enzyme. It's an enzyme that the bee produces, which it injects into the nectar, and actually that forms the honey. And that enzyme, that's a question. Why then are we allowed to eat honey? Because the enzyme itself is actually a yetzim in the tummy. But the enzyme has got a din. It's not a machal at all. It's a pirsha ba'alma. That's not considered as a machal, as something one's actually eating. And in any case, it's not a food at all, the actual enzyme. And it's itself is not the honey. It's the thing which is producing and causing the nectar to form into honey. So there's no question that the enzyme itself that causes the honey to be produced in that case would be permitted. The question, we're not actually eating the enzyme. The question is, with the royal jelly, we're actually eating this product. The royal jelly is actually a food that is produced by the bee. And therefore, the only tzad that one could be lenient about it, as far as the Gemara is concerned, is because of the second reason of the Gemara. And the question is, do we paskin like the second reason? The Rambam in Perek Hei Mechilas Machanos Asuras Halacha Gimel definitely seems to paskin like the first reason of the Gemara. The Rambam says quite clearly, Dvash Dvoirim, Dvash Tzirim Muta, Dvash of. And he actually is, the Rambam is therefore makel about, and is lenient about, honey that come from other insects as well. They just bring it in from the asovim, the herbs, the flowers, and they take it into their mouths, and they then excrete it out, or they stick it out into the kaveris, g'day shimatzos yimisos lechol minam vasek shomim, in order that the Rambam says, in order there should be nutritious substances in the hive during the winter months for the bees, which is for the queen bees to bees to feed on. That's the way the Rambam looks at it. So it's quite clear from the Rambam that he's paskening that according to the first reason of the Gemara, the only reason why honey is permitted is because it's processed, not because of the Gzeres HaKosev. And therefore, according to the Rambam, the royal jelly would definitely be osa. According to the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei Simen Pei Aleph, Sif Tes quotes both reasons, says, where he's referring to the question of other honeys from other insects, Tvash Sirin V'Gizin Muta, that honey from syrian and gizing hornets and other type of insects is permitted. V'yesh mishayse, and there's some that ask it. But so if according to the halacha that the dvash syrian and gizing would be mutter, it's clear that he's going by the according to the first reason, the only reason they'd be mutter because they are actually not produced, but they're not actually produced in the insect, they're only processed by the insect. V'yesh mishayse is the second reason of the Gemara, which because they'll be also because they don't fit in with the Gzeiras HaKosef. The Sitz Eliezer has a very long discussion on the halacha based according to which reason we paskin. He does come out lekula as a combination with this reason, plus he's got certain other reasons that maybe it's not properly edible, it's got a very sour or bitter taste, and in cases where it would be necessary, it could be reasons to permit it. I believe that in a certain Shulchan Aruch, Ravadia Yosef also has got a Shulchan where he says that one could possibly be lenient about it. But the truth is that the main consensus of the opinion of most of the kashrus authorities nowadays is that too great a sophic, and unless obviously there would be very strong medical reasons for using it, where one would ask a shayla, the halacha lemaisa is that most kashrus authorities are not happy with the heter, and therefore something like royal jelly should not be used without asking a shayla. That is the status as far as royal jelly is concerned. We have mentioned, however, that there are other products that are produced, either from other insects or from the bee itself, which also have very important uses, and it'd be interesting to have a look whether there's any other things to discuss about those. So the first one, most important one I want to discuss, which comes up very, very often, and comes up in shyness the whole time, it's nothing to do with honey, actually. It's shellac, which is used as a glazing agent in many foods and sweets. It's used a lot in tablets as well. And this, actually, is the subject of a very well-known sugar in Igros Moshe, Yeredeya Chelet Beis, Tshuva Kaftalad. And Halacha L'maaseh, Rav Moshe is lenient about shellac for really two main reasons. First of all, Rav Moshe says that according to the first reason, that he understood that shellac, and it seems to be what shellac is, it's again similar to honey in the sense that in its processing, that there's an insect called the lac insect, which incidentally apparently is from the same family as the insect that produces cochineal as well, the red colouring. It's the same family. And these insects feed on sap from trees, and they process this sap in their in their bodies, and then they again they regurgitate that sap out into the form of into the form of shellac, and they leave the shellac on the trees, and the shellac actually is collected from trees, and it's dried out, and it's used as a as we said, it's used as a glazing agent. So Rav Moshe says that according to the first answer of the Gemara, that the reason why honey is permitted is because it's only processed. So shellac will be the same thing, and it'd be mutter for that reason. Obviously, Rav Moshe goes into the fact that again, it's have to bring rise who we paskin like. Do we paskin like the first reason? Do we paskin like the second reason? But he says, in any case, apart from that, there's other reasons to be lenient about shellac, and that is that it's in itself, not used in its neat state, the shellac itself. In order to produce the shellac, they actually dissolve it in alcohol, and it it hasn't got any tam, it's got no taste, and therefore it will be bottled, even though it's not bottled b'shishim, but it will be bottled rov, according to some opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. So combining the two things together and taking everything into account, Rav Moshe was lenient about shellac. Present-day kashrus authorities have different opinions, and different authorities allow it. You'll find certain hechsherim, you'll see sweets and things like that, which have got shellac on them, which certain kashrus authorities permit, and other kashrus authorities, in case of foods, etc., confectionery, where it's usually used, tend say it's better to be machmir about it. It's used as a glazing agent. It puts a polish onto. It's used sometimes used in tablets as well. And tablets certainly, where anything it's to, anything to do with refuah, there certainly is it's certainly permitted. We can certainly be somit on the mekilim for it in medication. In foods, and one has to ask a shaila, depend on which kashrut authority it is who's giving the hefsher. But it's not 100% clear cut. But there are definitely strong reasons to be making about that.
Certainly, bottle b'shishim though. If it's
well, it's quite, it could well be that it's bottle b'shishim. It's not necessarily because if it's actually a coating on the outside and it's not mixed in the actual shlak itself. May not be bottled b'shishin in the rest of the pill because it's a separate unit, a separate entity on the end. But the other heterium for it in the case of tablets is because it's would be a subject of a separate share on its own. But there are many reasons why we are lenient about tablets, apart from the fact of bittel. When one takes a tablet, it's not a shloka vera hachila, and b'mokum mochayli, it's definitely permitted. Therefore, generally, there's not too much to be concerned about with shellac in medication. There are, however, various other products that are produced by bees as well, to come back to, which are well known for their properties, their health properties, and it's interesting to see what the halacha is to do with that. The main two that that come about are available are propolis and bee pollen. Now, propolis is actually a product that is just collected by the bee again. It's nothing. It's not to be confused with the royal jelly. It's not produced by the bee. It is a product that is collected by the bee from the flowers, and it's. Sorry, where's it collected from? From the bark of the tree, similar in a way, possibly similar to the way the shellac is collected, but it's something that's just collected by the bee. The bee doesn't really do anything to it at all. It just transports it to the hive, and that's where it's collected, and it has also. Properties, health properties, which are useful, and people do use it for health reasons and medical reasons. And all the poskim are united to agree that there's no shaila lahalocha about propolis, and the same thing goes for the bee pollen as well. The bee pollen is simply pollen. As we said, the bees collect two things from the flowers. They collect the nectar and they collect the pollen themselves. After Mr. Khan has got interesting photograph there of the bees actually carrying the pollen round. Why do they collect pollen? Pollen is actually used as a food. They take the pollen to the hives, and it's, as we mentioned before, they never use on the same journey. They'll never take nectar and pollen at the same time, but they take the pollen to the hives, and the pollen is the food for the. For the bees in the hive, for the worker bees, that's what they live on. And again, it seems to have properties which people find useful. Rejuvenating and health properties, and therefore it's definitely not a yes min atome in any sense of the word. It's only collected, and therefore there's no shaila that propolis and bee pollen are definitely kosher. One can use them without any doubt. The only thing to be careful about with propolis is to check the ingredients, because often things that they make together with propolis there are certain concoctions that are made where they add other things to the propolis in order to make a concoction, like they could use wine alcohol and things like that as an extra ingredient. So obviously we're talking about the pure propolis, but no, it's used as propolis. Is used as a. It's made as a health product. It's made into tablets. It gives it's it's got certain vitamins in it. It's just generally a product that is that is found to be useful and seems to have quite. I think Mr. Khan's got some literature there about the benefits of bee propolis. It does, certainly does have health benefits, and in itself, as we said, it's mutter. But you've got to be careful that it's not mixed with any other ingredients that would be questionable. Bee pollen is also used as an ingredient together. It's formulated often, sometimes into vitamin tablets as well, and there's definitely no shyla with that. The only other thing that comes up and that is important to know is the bee's wax itself, which there's a sample of there, which is the wax that is actually left in the hive, and that actually is secreted by the glands in the bee's stomach, and therefore, if it would be that you were actually eating and it would have a din of a normal food, then it might be also, according to the first reason of the Gemara. However, everybody is makel about it because it's not really edible in the true sense of the word. It's mainly used, beeswax is mainly used for external purposes. It's used in cosmetics. It's used, used to be used for candles, actually. And in fact, one of the rayas that they bring, when Halacha talks about shava, wax, that was usually referring, shava was beeswax. That was what they used for the candles. And the fact that, for example, in Hilchos Bedikas Chometz, it's recommended to use a ner shel shava when one does bezikas chometz, and nobody mentions this. Mentioned by the poskim. Nobody mentions that you should be careful that it doesn't drip onto your kedim and make a treva. Means that the poskim had no doubt about it, that that there was no shaila about beeswax lahalocha, that it's permissible, mainly because it's only the pirsha ba'alma. It's not a food in itself. It's an exudate which has got no food properties in itself, and the Mogen Avraham. Interesting moment. Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos in Chinkov Aleph Tesayin says clearly there, it's talking about Shava as well, says clearly in the aspect of Hilchos Boyer there, where it says clearly that the Shava is not royal achil at all, and therefore it's permitted. And it's on this basis that all. Yeah, maybe it's shy about taking it out or removing it on Shabbos. And it depends what you're going to be doing with it on Shabbos. There certainly could be problems in Hilchos Shabbos with using it. But as far as Hilchos Kasher is concerned, one does not have to be concerned about beeswax when one finds it in any product. This was a brief overview of the halachos of bee products. I can only say that the main chizuk that one can get out of such a study is the great knowledge that Chazal had, the great understanding that Chazal had of processes that take place and which need quite a lot of observation and study in order to understand. And there was no doubt in the minds of Chazal exactly how these things worked. And that should be a chizuk to us and a great chizuk in our Emunas Chachomim. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu help that we should have Siyata Dishmaya, everybody should have Siyata Dishmaya, to be able to keep Hilchos Kashrus and all halachas Gigonim, and nobody should have any failings in their Shemiras HaMitzvahs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that this should bring us to Bias Moshiach very soon, Be'ez Hashem, in the course of our endeavors to keep Kashrus and all our halachas properly.